The completion card for this course is on the table in the back. So if you've done all the meditations and readings, you can fill it out. And Robbie's around a lot, so I can track him down pretty easy to get those signed. If you haven't quite finished, you could take one and write down what you did so you can remember it for later, or maybe you finish by the next time we have a Discovering Buddhism course, and then you can fill it out. And again, Robbie's easy to find, so we can get him to sign that. I do have some snacks for a discussion group afterwards. Because you guys didn't eat the cookies, I brought trail mix and seaweed. But the trail mix has chocolate in it, so there's a little something for us people who want something sweet. But there's also some healthy stuff, too. So there is discussion after this class if you guys want to join for a little bit after this. And I'm going to pass the mic over to Donna. I'm asking the question.
I had this on, isn't it?
Okay.
So where it goes.
Yeah. Right there.
The next Discovering Buddhism class is
stick it through my belt.
The daily practice. And it starts not next week, but the week after that. With
yeah.
And there'll be a couple of things that are a little different about that. One of them is we are going to take a break on the Monday before Thanksgiving, so you can enjoy that week. But the exciting news is that we have a new Discovering Buddhism teacher. Hemant Pandya has just been approved by FPMT to be a Discovering Buddhism teacher, so he will be leading that class beginning next month, which we're very excited about. And so it's been an interesting journey because he didn't have all his completion cards because he was in the very first round of DB when we weren't paying close attention to those things. So
before we had Aaron.
Yes, before we had Aaron, who is so wonderfully organized. So it's really quite an accomplishment for him to meet all the requirements to be a Discovering Buddhism teacher. So please give him a really warm welcome next month when you start your next module. And then the last thing is, last but also first sometimes in order of importance, is you can't run away, Robin.
No, I'm just going to sit here.
We do really appreciate our teachers, and we do want Discovering Buddhism and all the teachings to continue to be available here at Kadampa Center. And part of creating the cause for that is showing appreciation in a tangible way. And so, Robbie, thank you so much for leading this class.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the two upcoming meditation practice days are November 11th and December 9th, and you can start to look for, they'll be on the calendar, so you can see them there. The one in November is focused on basic meditations you can do every day. The one in December is about the mind. So they do align with Discovering Buddhism modules, the first two of the Discovering Buddhism modules. So if you are trying to work on the completion card all the way through the intensive practices, you can match them up with that, and we can talk more about that anytime one-on-one, because we could explain up here. So that's a great way to get that done, and it's really just going to be like a group practice day. There's not necessarily going to be an FPMT certified teacher here leading us, but this is what we need to be doing every day on our own anyway, so we can do it together. At least those easy ones we can do together, and then we might ask for some help at some point. But I think it's a great opportunity, so I'll be here. You guys could all join. And even if you're not trying to get those certificates, still a great way to practice. So come no matter what. Yes. We have it. Why don't we talk about that? I mean, we kind of have it established as a full day, but I don't want people to, miss out on an opportunity. The idea is to keep the flow. So let's just talk.
Okay, let's thank you, Aaron. Let's begin with three prostrations. No requirement that you do these, but it is a way to acknowledge the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha that we go to for refuge to. Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is the fifth class and last class in the Discovering Buddhism module on death and dying. And do we have anyone who's here for the very first time tonight? Okay. Everyone's very experienced. Tonight is a mini meditation retreat. We're just going to be doing three different meditations. We'll begin with the concentration meditation, paying attention to the breath, and then we'll do the analytic meditation on the 9-point death meditation, and then we'll finish up with the death dissolution meditation, which is a visualization meditation. And you know, we split meditations up into concentration and analytic and then visualization, which is technically considered a subcategory of concentration meditation. But, you know, it's an arbitrary distinction to a certain degree. All these meditations involve both concentration and analysis. You can never eliminate one from your meditation process. So we're doing a mini retreat. It's not a month-long retreat. It's not a week-long or a weekend. It's just an hour and a half. But there is a special mind quality that you bring to a retreat, even if it's small, like this. First thing is we're going to be doing, aside from me running my mouth, it'll be conducted in silence. Then when you're doing a retreat, you know, you set up your environment. It's considered to be kind of a sacred place, and everything that's in the environment is there because you want it to be there, and it'll be useful in your retreat. So it's a good idea just to stay in one place during the hour and a half retreat that we're going to be doing. You know, look around you, get your area nice and tidy, remove any distractions, you know, get your golden prayer book out so you have that in front of you, get a cushion if you need one underneath your feet or behind your back, get all that taken care of now so that you don't have to, quote unquote, break your retreat and go looking for something. The first meditation will be fairly short, about 10 or 15 minutes. The second meditation will be about 20 minutes. Then we'll do a short break so people can go to the bathroom if need be, and then we'll come back and do the dissolution meditation, which is the will be the longest meditation. Make sure your phones are turned off, any electronic devices are out of reach, out of mind. The world will continue perfectly without you for the next hour and a half. There's nothing out there that you need to worry about or preoccupy yourself with. So we'll begin with our prayers on page 34. I just want to warn people, I'm getting over a episode of back pain. So, I mean, this is the first time I've tried to sit since it just hit me out of the blue Friday. I spent all weekend lying on my back. I said, maybe this is part of the death process. So I may be a little more fidgety than normal, but I feel pretty comfortable right now. So we'll begin with our prayers in English, taking refuge in bodhicitta three times, four immeasurables, seven-limb prayer, and the short mandala offering with or without the hand mudra. And these are on page 34 in the gold prayer book. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By my practice of giving and other perfections, come a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering, the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings or from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Reverently I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of every type of offering, actual and imagined. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since beginningless time, and rejoice in the merit of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma for living beings. I dedicate my own merit and those of all others to the enlightenment. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandalaka Niryata Yami. Okay, so those are the prayers for the entire retreat. Normally, in a retreat, the sessions would be longer, possibly an hour, even 2 hours, and you'd do the set of prayers before each session and then do some dedication prayers at the end of each session. And you'd have in front of you an altar that you had set up that morning and then you take down that day. Even if the retreat is continuing for a month, you take the altar down and set it up again each day. But we don't have the luxury of that time. We're doing a mini retreat. So we begin by checking our posture. Our back is nice and straight, not rigid and tense, but a little straighter than we normally sit. Our head is straight on our shoulders. Our eyes either lightly closed or slightly open. Our mouth is lightly closed. The tongue is on the upper gum above the teeth. Our shoulders are down and a little bit back, so our chest is open. Arms are away from the torso. Right hand on left with thumbs touching. If we're sitting in a chair, we're not slumped back, but we're sitting a little straighter than we normally sit. And our feet are flat on the floor with a cushion underneath them if we need that. If we're sitting on a cushion, we're a little bit towards the front of the cushion, so our pelvis is opened. Our legs are in any position that we find stable and non-distracting. So take a minute, check your posture, identify any sources of tension or discomfort and address those now so that they won't become an issue during the meditation. And to help settle our mind, we take 3 deep breaths from the abdomen. The stomach expanding on the in-breath and contracting towards the spine on the out-breath. and we allow our breath to return to its normal pattern. And as always, we begin by setting our motivation. And we've already done that with our prayers, but we're going to concentrate right now on generating the bodhicitta motivation, the idea that everything I do, including sitting in meditation for the next hour and 15 minutes, is done so that I can develop my mind, completely develop my qualities of compassion and wisdom, so that I can become enlightened, a Buddha, for the benefit of all living beings. And having set our motivation, we now begin the actual meditation, the simple concentration meditation of just being aware of the breath, the physical sensation, the tactile sensation of the movement of the breath in and out through our nostrils. Nothing more than that. And every time we notice, become aware that our concentration has wandered to another object, we set that aside and come back to the breath. Over and over and over. And that's the meditation process. And we can finish our meditation by doing a brief dedication. We think that by sitting and working with our mind in this way, we have made a positive imprint on our mind, on our mental continuum, and may that ripen in the future in a way that benefits all living beings. So that's our first meditation. If you'd like to stand up and stretch before we do the next one, that's fine. Yeah, someone asked about that, but I'm not familiar with that. Okay. Yeah, so I can't really talk about that. Okay. Session number 2. The 9-point death meditation. Begin by checking your posture. Three deep breaths from the abdomen to settle the mind. And set your motivation, generating the bodhicitta motivation. And just a couple minutes of concentration meditation on the breath as we were doing previously. Now we'll begin the 9-point death meditation. This is an analytic meditation. We keep our mind on the object of analysis. We use our mind's ability to think, to analyze, to reason, to form analogies, to remember actual experiences, but always with the focus on the chosen object. So again, if we've noticed our mind has wandered away from that, we come back to it. But the point of the meditation is to become familiar with the 3 main points and then the 9 sub-points, so that it becomes just part of our habitual way of living our life. And we certainly won't get to that point in this brief meditation tonight, but we're at least becoming familiar with these points, many of which are so obvious, but it's amazing what we can ignore if we wish to. The first point is the most obvious one of all. Death is certain. Is definite. And we think the first point, everybody dies. There was no one who was born 150 years ago who is still alive today. And there is no one alive now who will not be dead within 150 years. Not one single exception. No matter how powerful, how rich, how clever, death comes for everyone. No exception, including ourselves. We will die. Our life is always getting shorter. We are without exception every second getting closer to our death. Every one of us is moving towards our death. From the very moment we were born, we are getting closer to death. Every breath, every thought, every feeling, closer to death. Even while we're sleeping, we are continually getting closer to death. And while we're alive, how do we use this precious human rebirth? About a third of it spent sleeping. A lot of the rest of the time is spent eating, cleaning our body that will inevitably die, dressing it, exercising it, relaxing, watching TV, listening to music. And of the 24 hours in each day, the number of days always getting less. How much do we spend on spiritual practice? Developing our mind. It's something we think we can get to later, or that we're too busy to do right now. And when we think on these points, we come to the conclusion, I will die, and I must practice. I must develop my mind. And the second big point is that the time of our death is completely unknown. We all assume we're going to get 84.6 years, but we know there's no guarantee of that. But we kind of live our lives that way and plan on it. We've seen people that were the image of health who died suddenly. We've seen children who've died before their parents. The fact that we've made plans for what we're going to do when we're 70 doesn't guarantee that we're going to live that long. Our lifespan is completely unknown to us. The causes of death are so many. Infinitely small microbes can kill us. Just taking our eye off the road for a minute on the driving to work, we could be dead. We can have an allergic reaction to a food that we thought was going to nourish us. Or a little clot can break off and go to our heart and kill us immediately. Even medicines that we take in the hope that they will extend our life can backfire and cause a fatal reaction. There are so many ways in which our life can be ended unexpectedly. And this body that our life depends upon is so frail, so prone to breaking down. We know as we get older that our body functions less effectively. It's inevitable. And that is what our life depends upon, that frail collection of organs, depending on each one to function. Such a tenuous base upon which to build all these plans. So knowing that we will die and not knowing when, we come to the conclusion that I must practice Dharma now. No putting it off. No postponing. And the third major point to think about is that at the time of death, the only thing that will help us is our spiritual practice. Our money, our possessions, our 401k, of no use as we go through the death process. Whether we're a king or a homeless person, death comes for us and we're alone. Our friends and family cannot help us. They are not going through the death process with us. That is something we go through alone. Nobody can share that with us. This is inevitable. Even our body that we've fed and clothed and taken to the gym and eaten the right foods and kept clean is of no help at the time of death. The body is left behind. It is of no help. The only thing that will help us is our spiritual practice. And we come to the conclusion that since nothing else can help me at that time, I must practice now, purely and without attachment. I have to have the strongest spiritual practice possible to help me at the time of death. I don't want it to be weak or contaminated or not serious. I want it something that I can rely upon to be there for me, because that's the only thing that goes with me. And we can do a brief dedication to end the second meditation session. And there will be a 3-minute break now. Please stay in silence. You can go to the bathroom if you need to, or just stand and stretch, and then we'll do our final meditation session. Can we dim the lights like we did last week for this meeting? A little darker. Yeah, that's good. And if anybody would like to lie down with their head towards the altar, they're welcome to do so. Change posture. I'm going to be using the version of the Death Dissolution Meditation from Lam Rim Outlines by Venerable Karen. It's a little less descriptive than the one we did last week, but it'll touch on the major points in the time that we have available to us. Begin by checking your posture. Three deep breaths from the abdomen. And set your motivation, generating bodhicitta. And now we'll be doing the Death Dissolution Meditation, rehearsing what will inevitably happen at the time of our death. We will go through this process, ATB, according to the Buddha, no matter how we die. And the more familiar with it, the more prepared we are for it, the better we can use this process to make it a moment of great spiritual growth, such that great meditators are said to actually look forward to the moment of their death because they know that's an incredible opportunity that they are well prepared for. And what this process is the separation of the mind from the body, the mind which continues to the next lifetime, and the body which is shed and which decays. And the grosser aspects of the body cease to function. These are the elements of earth, water, fire, and air. And at the same time, the grosser levels of mind absorb into the subtle levels and then ultimately into the most subtle mind. And there are 8 stages in this process. And accompanying each stage is there are various outer signs that are visible to an outside observer, and then inner signs that appear to our consciousness. So we're going to imagine or visualize, which is just imagining, that we've created the good karma to have a very peaceful, pain-free death. But we know we are in the process of dying. We are lying quietly in our bed, very familiar, in our room at home, on our back. Our head may be propped on a pillow or two. There may be a friend or family member in the room with us, but we're really not paying attention to them at this point. Something more important is going on. And the first thing that we're aware of and that we're prepared for is the dissolution of the earth element. As the earth element loses its power, the body becomes weak and thin. And it feels as if we're sinking downward. We have no control over this. The body can't move. All of our strength is gone. And the natural radiance that we all have has disappeared. Our sight is unclear and darkening. We cannot even open or close our eyes. And what appears to our mind, the inner sign, the outer sign being the closed eyes and the inability to move our body, is said to be like a blue mirage. Everything is a mirage. And now the water element dissolves. Our saliva dries up. Our eyes are dry. There's no perspiration. No formation of urine. Even our blood begins to dry. We lose the ability to feel pleasure, unpleasant, or indifference. Those three root feelings are no longer possible. The ear sense fades. We no longer hear anything going on around us. Not even the subtle movement of the air on our eardrums. We don't even hear our heartbeat or the pulse in our neck. And the inner sign, what appears to our mind's eye, is smoke. Gray-black smoke everywhere. And now the fire element dissolves. The body loses its ability to digest. We can't absorb anything in the stomach, solid or liquid. We lose the ability to discriminate. We can't tell friend from enemy or from stranger. We no longer even remember the names of those who are closest to us. We've lost that capacity. We can no longer smell anything. And our in-breath is weak and shallow. And the out-breath is long. And what appears to our mind is a multitude of sparks or lightning bugs. And now the wind element dissolves. Inhalation and exhalation cease completely. Any capacity for even the slightest movement is gone, and all tactile sensation disappears. We no longer feel rough or smooth. The movement of air across our face, we can no longer feel that. We've lost all sense of any purpose related to worldly activities. Our tongue becomes thick and swollen, and we lose the inability to taste. And what appears to our mind's eye is a flickering candle just about to go out. So at this stage, all bodily functions have ceased. To the external observer, it's as if we were dead. But the death process is not over. The consciousness continues to absorb down towards the most subtle consciousness. So even though by Western medicine standards we're dead, we are prepared, and we know that our minds continues and there is more to come. So next, all conceptual thought ceases. Our gross consciousness no longer functions. That consciousness absorbs into more subtle levels, and there is no conceptual thinking. And all the energies of the upper part of the body gather together in the central channel at the top of our head. And what appears to our mind is empty space filled with white light. And in the next stage, as the mind continues to absorb to more subtle levels, the winds or energies in the lower part of the body come together at the base of the spine and what appears to our mind is empty space filled with red light. And next, the winds at the top of the head and the winds at the base of the spine move towards the heart and meet there and absorb into the white drop at the heart. And what appears to our mind is first empty space filled with darkness. And then a sensation of swooning into unconsciousness. Now all the winds and energies dissolve into the most subtle life-bearing wind that's at the center of our heart. And what appears to our mind is perfectly clear emptiness, the mind of clear light, the most subtle mind, freed of the grosser levels of consciousness. And we just focus on the clear light mind and stay with that experience. And to finish our meditation, I'd like to read Venerable Karen's description of what happens after this. But continue in meditation, just listen very concentratedly to what I read. When the clear light experience ceases, the consciousness passes back through the stages of dissolution in reverse order. As soon as this reverse process begins, the person is reborn into an intermediate state, or bardo in Tibetan, a state between lives with a subtle body that can go anywhere, through mountains, etc., to find a place of rebirth. Or the person revives into the old body, a so-called near-death experience. A lifetime of this subtle body in the intermediate state can last from a moment to 7 days, depending on whether or not a suitable birthplace is found. If one is not found, the being undergoes a small death, experiencing the 8 signs of death as laid out above, but very briefly. He or she then again experiences the 8 signs of the reverse process and is reborn in a second intermediate state. This can happen for a total of 7 rebirths in the intermediate state, making 49 days during which the time of place of rebirth is necessarily found. And now I'm going to read a dedication that comes from Shanti Deva's Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. Leaving all, I must depart alone. But through having not understood this, I committed various kinds of evil for the sake of my friends and foes. My foes will become nothing. My friends will become nothing. I too will become nothing. Likewise, all will become nothing. Just like a dream experience, whatever things I enjoy will become a memory. Whatever has passed will not be seen again. Even within this brief life, many friends and foes have passed, but whatever unbearable evil I committed for them remains ahead of me. Due to these merits, may I quickly attain Buddhahood and lead all living beings, without exception, into that enlightened state. So everybody can take a moment and rejoice that you've completed your little mini retreat. We did 3 meditations. I did not include the continuity of consciousness meditation that we did during the second class, but I think people are familiar with that. And as you can see, Venerable Karen's version of the death dissolution is a little bit different from the one by Joan Halifax Roshi, but the major points are quite similar. So it's useful to become with various people's wording of what happens, because we're really talking about things that it's very difficult to put into words. And with that, our class is over. Thank you very much, everyone. I hope you found it useful. And I want to thank Miss Erin for all her help, and our audiovisual team, thank you very much. We appreciate your help. And Kevin in the bookstore, definitely, thank you. And so there'll be a discussion group. And then I think the next class with Hemet will be fantastic. We're, as we said, very excited to have him joining our small team of Discovering Buddhism teachers. You go to some centers and it's one person teaching every module year after year, and I think we get the advantage of having different people's perspective on the Dharma sitting up here. So thank you very much. It sounds like